Some praise and worship to get you started this Friday morning. It's 9 minutes past the hour. I'm Bill Meyer. Junk food and casual sex. The two have a lot more in common than you might think. And joining us to talk about this and share how married couples can discover more authentic intimacy in their marriage is Dr. Julie Slattery. Julie is an author, a speaker, and the co-founder of the ministry Authentic Intimacy based in Colorado. And Julie, good morning and welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning, Bill. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, I should mention that I had the privilege of working with Julie when both of us served at Focus on the Family a few years ago. And not only, I'm going to brag on you for a second, Julie, not only is Julie a gifted therapist and writer and speaker, but she was even willing to host some radio programs with me, which shows that she has the gift of patience and forbearance. So,
oh, no, you were great to work with.
Kudos to you.
Those were good times and good memories.
Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing since you left Focus on the Family, Julie.
About almost 4 years ago, I co-founded a ministry with Linda Dillo, and the ministry is called Authentic Intimacy. And essentially, we create resources for specifically for women, but we find out that a lot of men actually tune into what we're doing. But we talk a lot about intimacy and sexuality and just the brokenness of culture and you know, just how to sort through some of these difficult issues that touch our lives and also that are so a big part of our culture. So it's been a challenge and just great to see the Lord work as he calls us to speak into some difficult places.
Well, you're involved in a very important work, and you also have a radio show with Moody. Tell us about that. And I know it revolves around coffee, so you got to tell us that.
It does. I know. I think it's just my excuse, just another excuse to have coffee a lot. But our show is called Java with Julie, and basically we do record it in a coffee shop here in Colorado Springs. And again, we just tackle some of these difficult issues that women face, that culture and Christians face, everything from issues around pornography to what is healthy sexuality to homosexuality, just identity in Christ. So those real sensitive issues that I think a lot of times we bring up, but the church doesn't really know how to talk through them. So that's what we're called to do, and that's what we do on Job with Julie.
And you talk about it in a coffee shop. Whoa, that's deep.
We do. I know.
Yeah. And the baristas are listening in going, what are they talking about over there at that table? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, by now they know. By now they just say, oh, that's just Julie.
Now, Julie, a couple of America's leading sociologists recently came out with a book called Premarital Sex in America. And they, in that book, they shared some very disturbing trends. Can you tell us what they found?
Yeah, basically they were looking at Americans ages 18 to 24. So that kind of the college age and what their views on sexuality and relationships and pornography and marriage are all about. And what they found was just really sobering, that a vast majority of them, I think it was like 84% of them, were sexually active, most of them with several different partners. And the trend is really what they called serial monogamy, that young people really feel like, hey, as long as I have some sort of relationship with this person, we actually are more likely to have sex together than we are to have significant conversation together. Mm-hmm. And that the trend is for men and women just to kind of move from one person to the next and not at all understand the significance of sexuality. And it had some interesting things to say just about the role of pornography and just what's happening in our culture and how that's affecting a man's view of a woman's worth. So it was a fascinating read and also a discouraging one at the same time.
I can imagine. And of course, from the research we know, University of Chicago had their, I think, the most comprehensive study on sexuality in America to date. And they found that actually the people with the most satisfying sexual relationships were those people who were married, committed to each other, and even had been virgins before they got married. And those with the greatest level of sexual dissatisfaction or sexual problems even were women who had been highly promiscuous before marriage. And so it really flies in the face. I'm curious, did these two sociologists, I know one from University of Texas, one from Baylor. Did they, in addition to just pointing out, you know, the facts, did they draw any conclusions and say, this is a bad idea?
Well, there's definitely overtones of that. The book is written from a very sociological perspective of clearly just looking at the research. They're not bringing in any moral bias that you can see, although I believe one of the authors at least is a Christian. You wouldn't know that through reading it. But I think what they do really effectively is they make the case without ever quoting God or mentioning God that his design is best, and that people are going away from his design, and that it's causing a great deal of confusion and pain among this younger generation. So as you read it, it's like God's design sort of speaks for itself in the research. But
I think we've seen this over and over again just in the last couple of decades, where these research studies come out and they so clearly echo what we read in God's word. And I often think of, you know, we talk about God as the great designer. And I think of him as this architect, sitting at this drafting table. You know how the architect has the little blue pencil and he's drawing the schematics of the large, you know, skyscraper or cathedral. And the architect knows how this building is to be built structurally, how it's what its function will be. And our architect, our great architect, our Heavenly Father, has designed us in this special way. And when we stay within the confines of that design, things usually go the way they're supposed to. But when we go outside of that design and we try to function in ways that God never intended us to function, we often reap a harvest of pain and suffering in our lives. And that's exactly what we're seeing through this research.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're seeing in our culture. When we look at just the levels of depression and, just loneliness and desperation, the levels of addiction, we just see that we live among a hurting people. And a big reason for that hurt, as you mentioned, is that as a culture, we've just chosen to go against God's design. And we experience the consequences. We experience the consequences of other people's foolish choices and our own. So the end result is a very broken culture. And the good news of that is that, you know, Jesus came to bring healing to the sick, and to find the broken people and to bind up those broken hearts. So it truly is an opportunity for us to just share the love of God and how he cares about our brokenness.
Julie, you recently wrote an article in which you compared casual sex to junk food. And basically, it may satisfy our cravings, but in the end, it leaves us feeling empty. So let's unpack that a bit. What are some of the parallels between casual sex and a bag of Doritos?
Well, I think in some ways they both create an insatiable desire for more. So if you've had that experience of getting into a bag of Doritos, or maybe you love ice cream and you take a few bites of it, what we know from junk food is that it actually has elements in it to trick your brain into thinking that you need more food and you need more calories. And those junk foods that are manufactured particularly to keep us eating the whole bag, the engineers of that food actually put in those kind of additives that make your brain want more, and your brain make you think that you're actually starving. And the same would be true with junk sex. You know, we think about hookups, or we think about the impact of pornography. Instead of helping you to feel satisfied, like I had a true connection with a person, what we know about the impact on the brain is it actually makes you crave something more. It makes you crave something different, and keeps you going back with this insatiable desire for more. So that would be the first parallel. A second one is that junk sex, just like junk food, ruins your appetite for something that really would be nourishing. So I have three teenage boys, and, you know, teenage boys love to get in their junk food. But if they eat a whole bunch of chips and donuts and things like that, when I'm getting ready to serve them some healthy chicken and vegetables or fruit, they don't they have no interest in what would really sustain them because their taste buds have been used to junk. And we see, Bill, that the same happens in our culture when people are engaging in junk sex. They don't even know how to respond or enjoy nourishing intimacy. For example, we see a recent trend in young people who are getting married, even Christians, who have been exposed a lot to pornography or casual sexual relationships, and they're reporting that one or both of them actually can't even sexually respond within marriage.
Wow.
Because their brains have been tricked out. So this is a tragedy, and nobody seems to be talking about it, and really that's the third parallel, is that junk sex hides a normalcy. And, you know, we can read, like, the CDC's report about how our nation is dying because we're overweight and we're eating terrible foods, but it's so common that it really doesn't seem like a huge crisis. And the same is true with junk sex. It's like everybody looks at porn, everybody's sleeping around. So because it's so common, we don't see it as one of the greatest threats to our society, which it actually is.
Wow. What is the connection, Julie, between, and you mentioned all these college students that are having this hookup culture, the friends with benefits culture. What's the connection between casual sex and shame and regret?
Well, I think this probably plays out a little differently with gender, because most of my work happens to be with women. Women are hit the hardest by the long-term effect of casual sex. And, you know, from a spiritual perspective, we would even look at a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 6. He kind of alludes to the fact that our spiritual choices or our sexual choices are also spiritual choices. And it even says that every other sin you commit outside of your body, but when you commit sexual sin, you're committing it against your body. And I think women really resonate with this, that there's something that they feel like they can't shake, that there's, you know, if I would even use the word like soul ties that are created with people that you have sex with, and then this sense of I'm dirty, I'm used, you know, it really takes a hit on their sense of self-worth. They doubt that God could love them, and obviously different women experience this differently, but we could link casual sexual activity to suicidal thought, to depression, to eating disorders. So, and of course, you've got the mixture in there of just sexual exploitation, that a lot of women were sexually exploited as children, and that's playing out in promiscuity as well.
It's really tragic, Julie, and I know you and Linda Dello are trying to make a difference in this area and in others with your ministry, Authentic Intimacy. When you go around the country and you speak to women, what are you teaching them about some of these issues and how to live a different type of life?
Well, the first thing we teach is we start with a biblical view of intimacy and sexuality. We even will draw the parallel that we see in Scripture of sexuality being a very profound metaphor for intimacy with God, and kind of paint that out for women, and then help them understand that sexuality is an intense spiritual battle. You know, Satan is very bent on destroying sexuality any way he can. So once you paint that picture of the spiritual battle that we're all engaged in, I think there's a sense of an aha moment, like, wow, I can look at my life and see how Satan has really twisted this for me. And then a lot of what we do is we talk about who God is, and, you know, he came to heal us. He came to redeem our stories, and, you know, he is able to forgive us. And so really calling women back to a sense of, all right, I need to surrender this area of my life to the Lord, whether it's because I feel very broken or because this is a broken piece in my marriage, and I want it to look like what God intended it to look like. So that's the basics of what we do when we do Authentic Intimacy conferences, and it's just been a joy to see that in a day, you know, just giving truth to women, we just see such, we're really starting just to see a revival, which it can only happen because the Lord is gracious, but it just encourages us to keep teaching God's word and keep meeting women where they're feeling pain.
Julie, before we go, if you would, from a parenting perspective, talk to the mom or dad who's listening right now and explain why it is so important to instill a healthy view of sexuality and God's design for relationships starting at a very early age.
Great question, Bill. You know, what I've started to talk about a lot is the concept of sexual discipleship. And a lot of parents will think about teaching their kids about sex, and they might have one or two conversations, but you've got to realize that the world is discipling our kids about how to think about their sexuality. Every day they're bombarding them with messages, they're modeling it for them, you know, they're helping them even define what gender should be. And so as parents, you have to have an equally just pervasive message of discipleship from the time they're little all the way through, like ongoing conversations about God's design, modeling that, you know, just every day at the dinner table, talking about cultural issues and what your kids are encountering at school. So it's an ongoing relationship. If we don't do that, then the world wins because their voice is a lot louder.